networks don't talk about it. Government can't tax it. But sports betting is a $200 billion a year business.
Sports Talk on Trib Live Radio.
Pick and Pork.
Trib Total Media. See what's next.
In the handicapping business, you get an edge over 50%. I think you're feeling good. 60% typically leads the country. Guy W. Junker, 64.5% against the spread, picking NFL games this year.
Are you really a W?
Yes. Yeah, Walter.
Walter?
Yeah, it was my dad's name. Oh, God, do I hate it.
Sorry about that. You can vote me Jag off of the week next week, but I'm praising you here. This is an incredible run you have this year. 51-28 against the spread, my friend.
I just
great
said
year
to Mike Barker, I'm on the verge of winning this thing. Now all of a sudden I'm nervous. I'm picking not to lose instead of to win.
I don't think you can blow this. It would be Pirates epic collapse 1 or 2 worthy if you blew this lead. You got a 5-game lead over Taylor, a 6-game lead over Graw and Jerry DePaula, and I'm 9 back, and we got 11 games to pick.
I still got time.
Tim still has time. I'm basically probably just going to pick opposite of you on all your picks today, guys. So let's
get started. Picking the Steelers then, huh?
Well, yeah, I think I would pick that anyway. But let's start with the early game. This will be the warm-up game, right? The Chiefs and the Texans, both AFC games, will be played on Saturday. And some are calling this the No Respect Bowl. Chiefs -3.5 at Houston and Bill O'Brien. Do you believe in Kansas City, guy? Do you think they're going to get down there and steamroll?
I do not.
Hmm.
Not with giving 3.5 points. I think this is. I'm kind of. I don't think Houston is getting the respect that they should because they were terrible to start the season. They've won 3 in a row. They've beaten Cincinnati. They've beaten the Jets. They've won 7 out of 9 now. Kansas City's. You know. Last 7 wins are against non-playoff teams. The record of the combined record of Kansas City's wins over their last 7 games, their opponents, is 38-74.
Yikes!
So I mean, look, you know,
some of those division games, you got to give them.
Yeah, they've
to
been
that.
On a nice run, and I'm not taking anything away from them. But I just
remember because they're on the bye. We started saying about the Kansas City Chiefs, so you got to look out for them because they don't play anybody.
Right,
and they hadn't been playing anybody since they beat the Steelers.
Yeah. Now, they opened the season against each other, and Kansas City won 27-20. It was 27-9 at halftime, and Houston started coming back because Brian Hoyer started the game and was terrible. His first pass thrown as a Texan was intercepted. They turned the ball over in the red zone 2 times early at the 13 and the 7, and Kansas City got 2 touchdowns. So that was in Houston. I'm looking at that game.
Who quarterbacked that game? Was it Hoyer?
Hoyer started it. Mallett came in late and led them to the last 2 scoring drives that actually got them, and then he started missing planes and meetings, and that was the end of him.
Probably wasn't blitzed in that game either.
Well, J.J. Watt had a huge game. 6 tackles for loss, which is the most of his career in a game. 2 sacks. The only thing that could change about that in this one is Eric Fisher's back for Kansas City. He's a hell of a tackle. He missed that first game, and he's had a great year, so he may neutralize him a little bit there. So all of those things put together, I think Houston can cover here, especially with 3.5. If it's if it was only 7 points the first time around and they had a lot more things going against them, I think they got some momentum now. So I'm going to take the Texans in the 3.5.
Better coach, better quarterback. Is it clearly Andy Reid and Alex Smith, Tim? They have the edge over Bill O'Brien and Brian Hoyer?
No, I think it's more clear quarterback than coach. I don't think that Andy Reid is that much of a better coach than Bill O'Brien.
He's been to a Super Bowl. I get to give him his due. He's done a good job with that offense out there. You can see that.
Kind of to Guy's point, the way things have gone in the second half of the season or throughout the course of the season has changed our perspective on these two teams. Like Kansas City, we looked at as a team that got off to an awful start and somehow rebounded and made it because the AFC is perceived to be weak and they played a weak schedule. But at the same time, I know a lot of us, myself included, thought they might win the West this year because we thought that the Broncos were going to backslide. Actually, the Broncos kind of did, but again, were buoyed by playing in the AFC West where they could take care of business against San Diego and Oakland. So, I do think that Kansas City is a good team. I'm a believer in the Chiefs. I believe this run is more than just playing bad opponents, and maybe not 10-0 worthy, but at least 9-1 or 8-2 worthy. So I'm going to go with the Chiefs. I believe in them more than just a team that got hot late. The thing that scares me is the history of the bad division winner rising up and winning the first playoff game is pretty memorable since they've gone to this format, isn't it? I mean, like Seattle, when they were really bad, beating a good Saints team. That
was usually the Bengals
five.
That lose, though, isn't it?
yeah, the Bengals have come into play a couple times there. What was the one last year? Oh, Carolina at 7-8-1, right? They won their playoff game. So there is a track record that suggests that even though it's the bad division winner getting a home game, that you should go for the Texans. I will grudgingly go with the Chiefs.
Houston lost their tackle, Dwayne Brown,
yeah,
last week.
Tore his quad.
I just
Tom Ollie's back.
Yeah,
last
I see.
Week.
I see a lot of Ollie in Houston, and
Brown is a very relied upon guy there.
I think that's huge. And Marcus Peters, their rookie corner, has 8 picks. He went 4 picks ahead of Bud Dupree, by the way. So compare those rookie years. I just feel the Chiefs. I think they're going to get on there and blow them out. Actually, I don't think it'll be close. And they would go to Foxborough, and I think that would set up a real interesting rematch of last year's game with New England. Remember that whole Brady's done game? Was it week 3, week 4? Where
yeah.
That was at Arrowhead,
Trent,
I guess.
Trent Dilfer yelling, "They're not good anymore!"
Yeah, a lot. Too many people yelled that. By the way, Josh Taylor is out today. He has sent his picks in via text message.
Is he sick, or is he just back in Arkansas, or what?
He says he has family matters to attend to. His scheduled day off. Chiefs are his pick, guys, so you are the lone wolf here. We're all going against you. And can pick up a game here. Your faith in Bill O'Brien. We'll see if it comes back to roost.
Bill O'Brien canceled my TV show. I don't have faith in him at all.
More just the faith in.
We always knew you were now more of a South Florida fan. Anyway,
now I'm nervous.
Yeah. What is the biggest reason you're picking Houston? You just thought a close game and.
Well, it was a close game in the opener. I think Kansas City. I like some of Houston's wins better than Kansas City's wins, and down the stretch they've been better than people have given them credit for. I mean, they
Fair
won
enough.
By 7 the first time, and I think Houston got off to a terrible start at the beginning of the year. As I said, that was Hoyer's first game as a quarterback, and he hand-delivered 2 early touchdowns to him at the 13 and 7-yard line. So,
fair enough. Well, let's go to the NFC games. Let's save the Steelers for last year. We'll go to Sunday. At this point, if your Steelers have won, this will be a great day for Steelers fans to sit back and watch. If the Steelers lose, you probably won't even watch these games, right? You know how that goes. It's like, forget it. I ain't watching.
Go to the mall and return that sweater.
Seattle is now a 6.5-point favorite, as we're looking at it, at Minnesota. And this is supposed to be cold and damn cold, right? I don't know if it'll be coldest game in NFL history type stuff. But I am actually looking forward to this one. The Vikings, I think, are in the no respect category here as well. It was a Week 13 matchup between these two that was a Seattle blowout. Probably Minnesota's worst loss of the year. What do you think, Guy? Will the rematch be a little bit different in Minnesota?
This is the one I'm struggling the most with, especially because it's a big spread and a low over and under and crappy weather. That 6.5 is 10. I feel pretty good that Seattle's going to win it. I just don't know. Do they win by 6.5? The Vikings are 10-0 when they run for 113 yards as a team. If they can run for 113 yards, they're 10-0.
That's a weird number.
And with Adrian Peterson going in bad weather, it looks like that would be a game that I would think might play into their hands. Although Seattle is the number one run defense in the league.
Mike Barker sent these along for against the spread numbers. You like these guys. Vikings 13-3 against the spread this year. Best in the NFL.
Yeah. And
I think a lot of that, though, goes back to our previous argument, perception. It took a long time to realize
they were pretty good.
That the Vikings were good.
Seattle's won 5 in a row on the road. And how about this? Their last 3 road games by a combined score of 109-19. The mystery to them is how the hell they lose to the Rams twice. Oh, geez.
Kind of like the Steelers, how they lose to the Ravens twice.
How about quarterback
Marshawn Lynch is back, right, and healthy.
Oh, I don't.
He was a full participant in practice on Thursday.
Oh, is he? Okay.
Yeah. I mean, you're going to put a guy in that had hernia surgery in 20 below zero weather. I don't know. I might be putting too much on the weather in a couple of these games. Somehow,
How about quarterback coach before you make your pick here? Big edge there for Seattle? In both cases?
Teddy Bridgewater's first postseason game. I mean,
against the Seahawks defense.
Yeah.
That isn't what it used to be, but it's still good enough to alarm a rookie starter, a first-year starter. First playoff starter.
I think I'm going to go with the Seahawks.
You probably would rely on Peterson to kind of take the steam off Teddy B in this game. I'm with you, Guy. I'm going to take Seattle here. I said I would go against you in all four.
6.5 is just a little too much. But Vikings defense has gotten better down the stretch. They had a pretty good last month. The big thing for me is the quarterback differential, though.
Yeah, that, you know, cold, slippery ball for Russell Wilson and the wide receivers. That does make me wonder about the number, but I'm going to go Seattle as well.
You know, the more I think about it, why not? Let's just give. I'll take Minnesota. Just to
why?
Go
against just because
you.
I said Seattle.
I can fall back in and change my picks by before the games are played. Don't forget.
None of that. Taylor's also taking Seattle. I'm going to be the lone wolf here. I'll take Minnesota just in the hopes that they can hang close. I don't have a real good faith in that. But
I kind of talked myself out of Minnesota. I had originally thought I was going to take Minnesota, but I don't want to take all four home teams, so that'll be my only road pick.
Packers at Redskins is a flat pick'em, no spread involved, as we are selecting.
That went down to a pick'em, huh?
I don't know if it went down there officially. Actually, it might be a favorite. Like, I think the Redskins might be home favorites now.
Okay, because I saw it as a one-point spread. What are we going with? Pick 'em?
Pick 'em.
All right, then I'm going to go with Green Bay. I would go with Green Bay either way. I know the Redskins are really good at home. A lot of people are saying that it's amazing how much love the Redskins have gotten here or how bad the Packers have sunk in the eyes of many. You know, they definitely struggled. And the shine is off Aaron Rodgers right now, but I still see them winning this game. I think that NFC East is horrible.
How about the Redskins? Since that that dumb game, do you like that game?
Yeah.
Kirk Cousins, 24 touchdowns and 27 picks coming into it. Coming out of it, 23 touchdowns and 3 picks.
His quarterback rating, Ken, is 101.6. That is the fifth best in the NFL. And they got DeSean Jackson, Pierre Garçon, this Jordan Reed, who is technically a tight end, as great. Yeah. Man, if you have him in fantasy, he wouldn't have been a guy I would have thought of. 87 catches, almost 1,000 yards, 11 touchdowns. Their defense is top 10 in the NFL in takeaways, and the Packers have given it away seven times in the last three. They've been king of fumbles lately. Washington's won 4 in a row. I know they've won 6 out of 8. They've won 7 out of 10. I just think they're the hotter team right now, and they're at home, and I'm going to take them, even though it makes me nervous when you got a guy like Aaron Rodgers over there.
You were trying to take the Redskins, Ken?
I was. Now I'm taking the Packers. I'm with you, Tim.
No, you're not. You're just against Guy. You're not. Don't try to make me feel good about this. It's not being with me. It's about being against Guy because you're trying to make up ground. That's what it is.
Pretty much.
All right.
Taylor is also going to take the Redskins. He's. It does feel that way, that they're the hotter team.
Who's Taylor taken so far?
Josh has taken the Chiefs. He has taken Seattle and Washington. So he's with you. You guys are in lockstep.
If I win that Houston game, that'll lock up the championship.
Oh, yeah. You guys are opposite.
Everybody's going to take Kansas City. That's going to be my big gamble.
And finally, Steelers and Bengals, and we're going by 1.5. This is obviously ballooned to a 3 in some spots here, but you guys know my feeling. I do like Pittsburgh, and tight game, but they'll cover the 1.5.
Wait, what are we going with, 1.5?
Yep.
It's up to like 3 now.
Yeah, I saw it at 2.5. It opened at 2.5.
Is that right, Mike? Mike, give us the thumbs up there. I thought that's
Mike's
what
not here.
Seen.
Yeah, it's 1.5. That's what it was at the beginning of the week.
Huh. I'm going with Pittsburgh. Like I said, I of the four games, this is the hardest one for me to call, and it's the teams that I've seen the most, and maybe that's why I'm confused. But I'm going with the Steelers. If for no other reason, if it's a toss-up, I might as well just not root against my pick, and I'll go with Pittsburgh. Narrow line, it's Ben Roethlisberger versus A.J. McCarron, and I know what Ben Roethlisberger has done the last two games as opposed to McCarron, but coach, quarterback, like you like to say, Ken, check and check, I believe. Definitely for the quarterback, maybe for the coach.
Yeah, Rossi was saying earlier, he doesn't see Marvin being conservative. Are you kidding? That's all Marvin does is pucker up like a snare drum, you know, when he gets into pressure situations. They are going to come out. I don't know. They
you got a bad drum.
They are going to be conservative Bengals, run the ball, and just take the life out of any Antoine Blake possibilities. I think that will be a storyline Monday. Marvin, dumb decision, should have thrown it.
How about this? This is the Steelers' 56th postseason game. They're 33-22. This is Cincinnati's 19th. They're 5-13.
5-13 franchise-wise in the postseason, huh?
Haven't won one since they beat the Houston Oilers in 1990.
Yeah, they really must be then, like, well, they have, I suppose. You know, we use that number for Mike Tomlin all the time now. 7 of 9 years he hasn't won a playoff game. The other two, he went to the Super Bowl. So if they have 5 wins in the postseason, they had to beat the – they had to win two – they must have one other season where they won one game and then got knocked out, I guess.
And won two in each of their Super Bowl appearances.
Yeah, I mean, there are things that could go wrong here. But A.J. McCarron, if you're a Cincinnati guy and you're picking this game, you're petrified, right? You're worried about McCarron. You're worried about playoff history. You got more worries than Steelers fans do heading into this one.
Well, I think you got more worries because of the history, which I don't think matters much once the game starts. So I understand how you – I mean, they're 0-4. Let me see. Since Dalton and A.J. Green were drafted, they're 0-4 in the playoffs, they're 4-10 in primetime games, and they're 1-4 at home to Pittsburgh. But I don't think any of that really matters. I mean, does that really matter? This is just all about a feeling, though, the ebb and flow of the way the NFL goes. I thought the Steelers had an advantage last time after losing the first time in a tight game. And I think the Bengals now know that they – I think even with both teams healthy, I think this Bengals team is better than the Steelers team. They're more balanced all the way around. And had Dalton not gotten hurt in that game, even if the Steelers won that game, I think the Bengals would have had a better fit. Bengals are, what, 5-4 in their last 9? Did I write that down?
They've been good against the spread this year, too. I think 12-2-1.
12-3-1.
Yeah.
Yeah, overall. But for,
well, it's a point and a half. So, I mean, what does the spread really matter?
Yeah,
here?
Yeah. Other than maybe they win the game.
All right, though, Guy, you're lone wolf then. Bengals in Houston, right?
Josh took the Steelers, too.
He did.
Bengals are top 5 in red zone offense and defense. I look at it this way, too. I want the Steelers to win, so if they win, great. If they lose, at least I'll win a pick and pork. I'm getting something out of this damn game, even if the season comes to an end.
And Channel 4 will be on team coverage as well.
Yeah, Ryan Recker already left. He's probably there now. And you can see him tonight. I'll be on the anchor desk over the weekend. So,
CBS game, so it'll be Sims and Nance, right, for the Saturday primetime game.
So I'm lone wolf on the Steeler and Houston game, huh?
Jackie Kane are. Doing full pregame and postgame on my TV Pittsburgh?
Doesn't start till February.
Oh, okay.
This
How
TV.
About,
did.
This TV, sorry. I
How about
that.
Super Bowl picks? Who do you guys like for the game in California, Super Bowl 50? I think I'm going to go with Carolina. I know Seattle's been hot here. Something about this year just seems like it's Carolina's year and maybe not Seattle's. Can they make a third run to a Super Bowl? I don't know. And the Honey Badger losing for Arizona was big.
I'm going Carolina and New England.
That's where I was going to go.
I think I'm going to take Denver against my best judgment.
Oh, I'm not going there. AFC's Wouldn't, tough.
So wait, you're not going there. So do you think then the Bengals would have to play New England, I guess. So you would have whoever wins Houston and Kansas City beating the Broncos?
No, Kansas City
talking
would go to New England.
Huh?
Oh. Well, I guess, well, yeah, by Guy's analysis.
Then. I wanted to go New England, Carolina. I'm just trying to think of somebody besides New England.
I'm right on that, Ken, because if Guy's right, then Cincinnati is the 3 seed. They play New England and Kansas City or Houston. Will
oh, go yeah, if Cincinnati wins, yeah.
I'll go New England, Arizona.
Okay.
Boy, what an easy route that would be for Pittsburgh in the Super Bowl, huh?
Yeah. The retired Steeler coach against Belichick.
And Larry Fitzgerald.
Right.
That's a better fit than the one the Steelers have. Mike says via email, you can email the show sportstalk@tribweb.com here on the Team Spanos group of Raymond James, Trib Live Radio, Noon Hour. What do you guys consider the amount of yards for Fitz Toussaint that the Steelers need to win? This is hard to come up with because D'Angelo had 100 against Baltimore, and then look how that turned out. But they need to give him the ball, I think, 15 times and hopefully get about 4 yards per carry out of him when they do run. Hopefully he can block against the blitz and be okay in the pass game.
I think the big number for Fitz Toussaint and what he gets running-wise is going to be over the first 3 drives of the game. Setting a tone that, yes, we can run the football effectively, thus making the Bengals honor it.
Yeah,
now, if he doesn't
excellent
get,
point.
If he gets 10 yards in the first 3 drives total, then I think he might stay at about 10 to 15. You know, if he doesn't get much early, he's not going to get much. And then it's just going to be about Roethlisberger trying to pass his way through that Bengal defense. And that's where Reggie Nelson continues his run to Canton.
Handbone emails the show with the headline.
Lawrenceville?
I don't know. Is that where Handbone is?
What? Hambone is a restaurant in Lawrenceville. I thought that's what you were saying.
Handbone starts his email, "What's happening, partners?"
Marcus Gilbert, from here on out, is simply referred to as the partner.
You get the neighbor and the partner.
Yeah, the neighbor and the partner.
Key to this game, Hambone says, will be Ben, period. We know the defense will be giving up yards and points, even to McCarron. And we know the Steelers' run game will be average at best.
Yep, he's going to have to earn his money. There's no question.
Hambone likes the Steelers by my score, 24-21. He says, however, if Heinz Field Ben shows up, the Steelers will win going away. But if Road Ben shows up, the Steelers will struggle mightily.
Yeah, but you got to flip-flop that against the Bengals, because Heinz Field Ben against the Bengals sucks.
Yeah, their winning percentage is better. In fact, I think their home games next year should be played in Cincinnati.
He's lost twice in Cincinnati his whole career. You want Paul Brown Ben. Paul Brown Ben is some of the best Ben we've ever seen in our lives.
14-3 they are in that stadium.
Was it three? I said two. I'm sorry.
It's unbelievable. Well, I don't know if Ben played all those, though.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Ben numbers are right. I mean, as a team. The place
14 out of 17 ESCA losers?
Since they built the play that opened a year before Heinz Field did. 14 out of 17.
Oh, is that beautiful?
Oh, man, I'm talking myself out of everything. It's unbelievable why you can, depending on what the last thing is, it's like an NBA game. Whoever talked last, that changes my mind.
Stick to your guns. You're strong against the spread, my friend. Here are a couple emails about the Neil Walker discussion we had last hour. Killer Chihuahua says, I heard the Walker interview with Madden yesterday, guys. It confirms why I'm very indifferent regarding the Profit First Pirates. They had no intention of keeping him. None. And that, I guess, was evident in that interview.
Neil made that abundantly clear. The defense thing really also bothered him. You could tell that. He really thought that this notion that he's not a good defensive second baseman irked him a great deal. Because Madden said, what are you going to work on the most when you go to New York? And one thing he brought up was trying to get more consistency with his swing from the right side of the plate. But he almost gave it the, well, I guess I'm going to work on my defense because everybody says I'm a bad defensive second baseman. You know, I'm obviously paraphrasing, but that's the way it came across.
Like Richard Sherman saying he couldn't cover short receivers.
Very
guess
similar.
I can't cover short receivers.
Very similar.
Yeah. Killer also has a vision for the playoffs. It's not good for Pittsburgh. He says, I hope I'm wrong, but I suspect the Steelers loss. But on the good side, Dalton will return next week and the Bengals will then lose.
So Chihuahua has given us visions on top of haikus and songs, huh?
Yeah, no songs today. He's with Guy in the pessimism department.
There's a lot of that around here, man. I'm telling you, there's a lot of people I know that I never hear them pick against the Steelers that are doing so this week.
Have some faith. Ben is a Tim Benz rival, especially when it comes to baseball. Frequent emailer Ben checks in again today. Benz, you say we traded Walker for next to nothing. I say we traded a guy with career numbers very similar to Liriano. Wait until he gets in the system and Nice pitches in this left-handed friendly
What's
ballpark.
What's with this guy and John Nice?
He loves him some Nice.
My God. Every time you bring up a Pirate discussion, he chimes in with how good he thinks John Nice is. Well, what do the Mets think of him? A better team.
Where are the Mets trained now? Port St. Lucie still? Or at least,
I don't know.
Or they moved to Arizona like a lot of teams have. I don't even know.
No, I think they're in New York. Or in Florida.
I've never gone to their complex. It is Port St. Lucie, yeah.
Yeah.
Now, that guy who emails, he is the prototype for the Neil Huntington defender, because he's done a lot right of late. He can't do anything wrong now. But, you know, go back and read the article that I wrote for Inside Pittsburgh Sports. There have been more missteps from Neil Huntington than anybody wants to imagine or bring up or remember. And he's got more of a checkered history than we want to look at, because the last couple of years have been very good. And I think he's doing a good job of doing what he wants to do, which is blow off this year. And he's doing so at the behest of his ownership, and he's fine with that. He's selling guys like this dude that keeps emailing, this Ben guy. He's selling him. He's buying hook, line, and sinker.
I believe in Ray Searage, and I think he could do some stuff with Nice. I mean, you just have to have some faith there. Look at what they did with Hap. But it doesn't take away what you're saying, Tim, that Huntington in the first base situation has been a disaster. And that's a couple years going now that they've really missed out over there. Steelers have made it official that D'Angelo Williams is out for Saturday's wild card game. Everybody else is listed as probable on the injury report. That coming across here at this hour on the Giovanni's Pizza Hour. 412-281-7060 for your Geo's Pizza. And you
so
can
actually, we were given
too.
Pretty good information by both teams all week who said that they were preparing as if both Dalton and Williams weren't going to play.
Exactly.
Which they both could have lied and said it's a game-time decision.
They're too honest. Marvin Lewis, Mike Tomlin. Meeting at the 50-yard line. All right, guys, should be a fun weekend. Look, a lot to talk about. You want to do the show Sunday or you just want to wait till Monday?
I like that idea, frankly.
What day do we get off if we come in Sunday?
Friday.
Yeah, I'll take that.
Unless the Steelers win, then we have one that we put in the bank for later.
Got to convince Mike Barker to come in early on a Sunday morning. Not sure he'll bite on that one. We will talk to you at some point, though, and have fun with this TV Pittsburgh and the debut of the 7 o'clock news, all right?
We got a couple months to go on that yet.
All right.
My involvement is not clear, so.
I think your involvement is basically, isn't it just going to be like packages? Like what you turn around, she's going to front, more or less?
I don't, probably.
You're going to meet a Jackie Kane donut. What a good position for you.
It'll be a work in progress, I'm sure. Whatever.
Jackie Kane, how popular is Jackie Kane? People know her, obviously. Our emailers know her.
Yeah. Well, what do you mean? I never see her. She works mornings, I work nights.
She's got a good rep. I mean, she's.
Yeah.
I guess you wouldn't tell me if she didn't.
What kind of rep are you talking about as a journalist?
I don't know.
Are you talking about as a journalist?
Yes, as a journalist. She's no misogynist.
Yes.
She appears to have some assets, I think.
Oh, no, I want
I'm not getting
camera.
Involved in this here with a coworker. You guys talk amongst yourselves.
All right, Ken, she appears to have some assets.
I'm not asking if she did a body paint ad in Sports Illustrated. I'm just, you know.
Well, if this thing on this TV Pittsburgh goes well, you never know.
Is she a prancing pony or is she a hardworking journalist? That's all I want to know.
Hardworking journalist.
Good, good. Then I'll watch this TV Pittsburgh. Andy Dalton officially out for the Bengals and Rick D'Angelo Williams out for the Steelers. We'll discuss that in more detail coming up. Tim, also, Tim Benz once lived in Salt Lake City. He's lived in a lot of strange places.
I forgot about that. Yeah.
I want your intel on BYU and Utah, this spat going on, and how it relates to Pitt-Penn State, possibly. And I'll try to connect the two coming up next.
Well, at least if you're investigating Pitt-Penn State, you can get a cup of coffee.
Well,
you can't get that in Utah.
Here's the deal. You just want Guy to leave before we open the Penn State pick can of worms. Is that
no,
it?
No, actually, I don't. If he wants to stay, I'd love to have his inherent bias in this discussion. Guy, you want to stick around for this?
All right. All right.
Oh,
here we go.
All right. Beautiful. Coming up next.
Game faces every day at Goodrich and Geist, pursuing justice for real people. Online at goodrichandgeist.com. Injured? Do you have a case? Call Goodrich & Geist at 412-766-1455. Goodrich & Geist, located at 3634 California Avenue in Pittsburgh's North Side. Goodrich & Geist, attorneys at law, online at goodrichandgeist.com. All playoff coverage brought to you by Goodrich & Geist, investing in the community with roots in Pittsburgh.
$5 for breakfast, $10 for lunch, $15 for dinner. You're eating, but you're not eating gourmet food for those prices. If you work for 30 years and then are retired for 30 years, you're going to need $10,900 a year just to eat at those prices. That's not factoring in inflation or taxes. That would be $327,000 just to eat in your retirement years without inflation. And another $327,000 to feed your spouse or significant other. In other words, if you're now questioning if you've saved enough to eat in retirement, call the financial advisors of the Spanos Group of Raymond James, 866-916-RETIRE, to develop a written financial goal plan tailored to your resources and financial goals. Spanos Group, Pittsburgh Magazine's face of financial guidance. That number again, 866-916-RETIRE. Raymond James & Associates, Inc., member New York Stock Exchange, SIPC.
You don't need to face criminal charges alone. Call me, Frank Walker, 412-532-6805.